Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Build your franchise around that guy.
Damn straight.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
They ain't never seen this Cam.
Play action, screen right. It's intercepted. Kenny Young.
Are you going to stick with Cam next week?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Cam's our quarterback.
Earlier on the show, host of the Half Forgotten History podcast, Trey Wingo. Coming up from NBC Sports Boston, Tom Curran. ESPN host, Bomani Jones. Golden Globe winning actor, Kevin Bacon. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Great chat with Trey Wingo coming up in the last hour. And we've got coming up here on the program, Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston. Bomani Jones will be joining us in a moment here to talk about what's going on with Kyrie Irving and the rest of the NBA. Kevin Bacon will be joining us in hour number three. We've got a great poll question that I'd love to unpack for those who might be joining us at the top of the second hour here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, both satellite and terrestrial, and also here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Chris, go ahead and ask the poll question.
Yeah, it's right the 42nd anniversary of the Lufthansa heist, made famous in Goodfellas. That was a $5 million cash heist and almost $900K in jewelry from JFK Airport. by a bunch of gangsters, the biggest cash robbery in American soil at the time. So we're wondering what's the biggest heist in sports, basically contracts by guys who never lived up to it afterwards. Looking at Gilbert Arenas, a 6-year, $111 million deal by the Wizards, immediately gets hurt and only played two games following, only about 150 the rest of his career. Albert Haynesworth got $41 million guaranteed from Washington, immediately flamed out, tried to resurrect his career in New England, didn't work out. Mike Hampton got an 8-year, $121 million deal from the Rockies after having a good year with the Mets in 2000. Only played 2 years in Colorado, ended up with 63 wins the rest of his career after that contract. And then lastly, Bobby Bowe, the crown jewel of this. Deferred payment from the Mets, $1.19 million a year, for 25 years at 8% interest, starting in 2011.
That's crazy. It's Albert Haynesworth for me, although Don Bowie, Rich Eisen Show Major Domo, is saying Chris Davis's contract with the Orioles was beyond awful. It runs through 2022, 7 years, what, 160 and change? 161.
Yeah, 161.
I think he struck out more than he's hit home runs, that's for sure.
So that one's pretty
people
bad.
People are saying that.
Pretty bad.
Look, I'm born in Brooklyn, raised in Staten Island. I've been around the block watching New York sports media have people for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And the one thing you don't want to do is, certainly when you are a star athlete in this town, blow off the media when you're supposed to speak to them. And then you get fined for it. And then, as Kyrie Irving has done with the Brooklyn Nets, and, you know, it's kind of like, of interest, right? When, say, Kevin Durant's now healthy. When, say, Steve Nash is your coach. When, say, you put out a video when you hook up with the Nets that you grew up in New Jersey, a big, what, Drazen Petrovic fan or whatever he claimed to be at the time? You know?
Something like that.
You know, he lived through the Calipari years. Is that what basically he was bemoaning or whatever?
Big Kerry Kittle.
That
guy.
Video of him crossing the Brooklyn Bridge. I mean, and then you put a little bit more chum in the waters by going on Instagram and quoting Malcolm X and saying, "I do not talk to pawns. My attention is worth more. I pray we utilize the quote-unquote fine money for the marginalized communities in need, especially seeing where our world is presently. I am here for peace, love, and greatness, so stop distracting me and my team and appreciate the art," which is capitalized, by the way. We move differently over different over here. I honestly don't know what any of that means. And I saw, I follow Bomani Jones on Twitter. I enjoy his work immensely. And I figured let's get him on here because he was quite taken by this as well. Bomani Jones here on the Rich Eisen Show from the worldwide leader in sports, as well as his own podcast. We'll talk about it here as well. Bomani, how are you? Good to have you on the program today.
Good, man. How are you?
I am fine. I'll give you the floor. What do you think's going on here with Kyrie Irving, Bomani?
I don't know. I don't know. Like that's what the real moral of the story is. Like, that's not the thing he put on Instagram today. I just wanted it to make sense. That's all. Like, can this thing make sense? You don't want to talk to the media. I understand that. I do think the media members kind of undersell how annoying it must be to spend all your time with people bombarding you with questions. Because one thing about media that's worth pointing out, if anything ever happens and we wind up becoming the story, we are quick with the no comment until I talk to my boss. Like, we get it. We know why it is that they don't want to talk to us. But it's the Don Draper line, right? That's what the money's for. That's the trade that everybody makes in this game. They kind of have to deal with us because it serves a greater good and purpose. Now, along the way, somebody wants to ask Kyrie Irving if LeBron was a father figure to him. And that's like an absurdly, really stupid question. And I'm sure they get stupid questions every day. You shouldn't have to answer that stupid question, but like everyday stupid questions, this is just what you're going to get. So I get why somebody would be annoyed and bothered by the idea of being forced to talk to us while they are half-dressed. All of that makes perfect sense. And if Kyrie said, I just really find you guys to be annoying and I don't want to talk to you, I think I could let that ride. The problem is he always tries to, like, hypothesize and take these things to these intellectual places that he doesn't, like, he doesn't have an all-access pass to this intellectualism. Like, there's a security guard that stops him at a turn that's like, yo, man, this is a little farther than you are allowed to go. But that does not stop him. And then next thing you know, he is quoting Malcolm X to explain why it is that he just doesn't want to talk to us. No, it doesn't work like that.
I agree. And in New York, that is just only going to serve to churn it up. Why doesn't he want to talk? Is it because LeBron clapped back a little bit at his quote about how he's finally playing with a player who's, you know, going to take the shot at the end or can make the shot at the end, meaning Durant, or... Harden wants to come there, and Houston saying we want Kyrie, and he did, and that might be true. I mean, is that what's going on here? Why doesn't he want to talk about a?
Hey, I got to tell you this, man. I don't know if I will ever be so gifted in my life as being able to explain why it is that he does any of these things. That's actually part of the problem. Like, if he could clearly explain, or would clearly explain, because maybe he can and simply hasn't. But if he would clearly explain where he's coming from on some of these things, I think he'd have a lot fewer problems on it. But, like, I look at the thing he put on Instagram, and I'm really like, no, man, I do not understand what it is that you were talking about. Now, it's possible that I don't understand what he is talking about because I am just not bright enough to get it. Just throw it out there in the realm of
mind. I don't know about that.
That could be the case, man. You got to have some humility and self-awareness in this world. The reality is, I think Jesse Jackson was made this point, is that if you were talking to me and I don't understand it, it is probably your fault. Like, especially if you're in the space of being a professional communicator. He is in a space where if he wants us to understand something, it is his responsibility to put it in ways that we are able to understand. Like, we're not in a place now where we're trying to twist his words. We're legitimately in a place now saying, dog, what are you talking about?
So do we read into this as that it doesn't work out in Brooklyn, you know what I mean? Like, that's the whole thing, because, you know, we all sit here on shows and have time to talk about things like this and sometimes over-parse it. And I always wonder, certainly in the NFL, about the blow-ups, dust-ups that happen when games aren't being played, and wonder how it does manifest itself when games do start to be played. Is this just a way to just fill a Friday before we're actually tipping off, or you think this is one indication that once again, Kyrie is going to be part of a situation where a welcome is either worn out or there might be one championship or none at all? What do you think?
Well, I mean, let's be fair. We all walked into this with a measure of skepticism, because it is impossible to walk into what the Nets are putting together here without having some measure of skepticism, right? But I think that all of us who are observing this are doing so from that position. So I do think that it's fair to say that maybe we can make things into something a little bit more than they are, because it confirms the kinds of things that we think are going to happen. The other thing, though, with Kyrie is he really gets on people's nerves, like in a very unique, singular way, right? Like normally when people are on some like space cadet type stuff, we find it to be kind of delightful. No one finds his space cadet to be fun because it's so serious. Like, he means all of it. So I think part of it is kind of just a personal reaction that people have to Kyrie Irving and how this goes. But I do think, though, they are running quite a sociological experiment over there in Brooklyn with this team, in large part because I don't know what Kevin Durant is going to look like when he comes back, but right. I'm going to assume that Kevin Durant is going to be the best player on the team. He has lived a life as a basketball player already of being the best player on the team, but the dominant personality on the team is somebody else, and that person is the one who gets to dribble the ball up the floor. He kind of got tired of that and went somewhere else after a point. I'm surprised he signed up for it now. This is going to be a lot. Like, everything in Brooklyn is going to be a lot, but that ain't our fault. This is, like, objectively fascinating.
Bomani Jones, ESPN host, commentator, and host of The Right Time with Bomani Jones podcast right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Would you have given Paul George the max 226 if you were Steve Ballmer and had all those Ballmer billions? Would you have done that?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you're not going to get a whole lot of better players than Paul George. Like, he's probably one of the 10 or 12 best players in the NBA, and that's the kind of money you pay one of the 10 or 12 best players in the NBA. It just so happens right now that he is in our crosshairs for all these jokes for various reasons. But, like, he's basically a 6'9", 2 guard who can guard three or four positions, right, and can give you 35 on a given night. Yeah, that's about what that sort of thing costs. My question for them is, what, like, do we know that Kawhi Leonard is going to come back there? Like, are we positive that that's something that he's going to do? Because they hitched their wagon to a couple of guys that I don't know if, like, even if they're really good, are they really, like, dependable in the ways that you need them to be? And so far, the answer to that is kind of ambiguous.
So, yeah, I mean, I hope he does, in the same way that I hope Giannis signs a Supermax, because they went ahead and mortgaged the future for Jrue Holiday. Right. And so you got teams making these moves where you're hoping that the next big, most important step is already decided, not hoped for, or trying to be a bouquet of roses placed at their feet from management saying, we already made this move, so it's now time for you to make your move. I sure hope so.
Yeah, well, what I think is going to be interesting is I'm wondering if at some point you're going to see a bit more of a movement among players and free agency decisions where you bet on the front office. Because I understand betting on location and betting on what the roster is at a current point in time. But the smart bet is on the front office. Like, when LeBron left Miami and went to Cleveland, he seemed to realize pretty quickly, oh man, I bet on a really shaky front office, right? So Miami's roster had gotten to be something that maybe you could win with. Okay, but Pat Riley's a dude that you think one way or another is going to be able to find a way to get it done. Like, if LeBron was making basketball decisions, you bet on the front office. I don't know if the Clippers have a front office that you necessarily want to bet on. And so if you're Kawhi, and none of us know what he does or thinks, because he ain't telling us a damn thing. Like, Kyrie don't want to talk to the media. Kawhi Leonard talks to us. It doesn't tell us anything. Maybe you can learn to live like him. Because I can't pretend to know what he's going to want when his contract is up.
Bomani, what do you think Pat Riley's first thought was when, I'm sure he didn't see it on Twitter or on his phone, somebody had to tell him, I'll just throw that out there, that James Harden put Miami on one of his wish list, I want to go to play for? What do you think went through Riley's mind when he heard that?
Oh, immediately trying to figure out what way there is for it to happen, because Pat Riley does not look at the world in the same way that we do. Like, I see the idea of trading assets away for James Harden and ask, how are you going to build this thing around James Harden? Is the only way to play ball with James Harden, with James Harden having the ball all the time and things that stagnate your offense, or whether that's the guy that you want around. Pat Riley is, I am Pat Riley. This is, like, he's David Ruffin, right? Like, I'm David Ruffin, and these are the Temptations. That's how Pat Riley sees the Heat. This is his team. And so, yeah, we bring James Harden in here, and he would do what it is that we do. Because not even with LeBron James did Pat Riley truly entertain the possibility that he is going to bend to what the player wants, right? They may take your input into account, but he's the guy who's in charge. So if you tell him one of the best five players in the NBA is available to be under his charge, oh, he'll try to find a way to, like, if he wants it, he'll find a way to get this done, because I don't think the market is going to be nearly as robust as James Harden would have expected.
Well, certainly not if the Rockets are doing what they should do, which is, okay, we've got 2 years of contractual control remaining. This player does not have a no trade clause. However, the NBA gives you whatever trade clause you want when a superstar usually says, I don't want to be here. But that said, you know, they should look at Philadelphia and say, well, one of the names better be Embiid or Simmons. I don't want to hear about Tobias Harris. Or, well, Nets, one of the names better be Kyrie. I'm sure you're not going to be talking about Durant. But one of those names better pop up. And if you're Houston, what, the name is Hero, right? Or Adebayo? I mean, that better be the first name out of Pat Riley's mouth. Otherwise, enjoy playing with John Wall. Shouldn't that be there?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, isn't that,
you
right?
can't give a play. Like, you think, I've talked about this for a while, like some of the superstar trades of back in the day, like Charles Barkley got traded for Jeff Hornacek, Tim Perry, and Andrew Lang. And after that season, Andrew Lang left Philadelphia and went back to Phoenix, right? You can't get away with making one of those trades anymore. Not after you get all of that for Paul George, for example. Not after the Pelicans got all of that for Anthony Davis. Like, you as a general manager can't go face your boss and come back with a terrible package for James Harden, right? And so I think he thought that he could squeeze himself into the one place he wanted to go just by stomping his feet. And the Rockets are like, nah, we're not going to do that. One thing to keep in mind with Harden, he was represented by Rob Pelinka, I think, when Rob Pelinka took the Lakers job. The big thing is Harden's mom handles his affairs, if I'm not mistaken. I know he does not. I do not believe he has, like, an official quote-unquote agent. I don't know anything about his mother or anybody that's around them. I don't want to question their savvy or anything like that.
Right.
But there's a value in a professional, you know? And so if he is trying to run his own strong arm campaign without the aid of someone who does this all the time, then this is going to be wonky.
Ask Bomani Jones the poll question before we send him off for the rest of his Friday right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Go ahead, Chris.
All right, Bomani, it's the anniversary of the Lufthansa heist from Goodfellas. What's the biggest heist in sports? Gilbert Arenas, Albert Hainsworth, Mike Hampton, Bobby Bonilla.
Oh, no. Oh, right. Can I do my none of the above?
Please. Sure. What do you got?
Frank McCourt bought the Dodgers with no money and then sold them for $1 billion and still owns the parking lot.
That's right. He does
what
own the parking
beating
lot.
What beating that?
We didn't think we just figured we didn't think beyond just player and contracts. I didn't think of that one, but that's why we have you on. That is a great heist.
Man got $1 billion, and the divorce is what set it all off. And if you guys are out there in California, he got to keep the parking lot.
That's right.
That's right.
That's true. Everybody gets their $50 just to go set a tire on there,
so much money.
To take 13 hours to drive in and out too. Oh my gosh. That's a good one, Bomani. That's why we have you on. Thanks for doing this. Let's do this again real soon. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Sounds good, man. You boys have a good one.
You got it. That's Bomani Jones. Everybody check out his podcast, The Right Time with Bomani Jones, on ESPN podcast app, as well as where all apps can be acquired. The Right Time with Bomani Jones. I just love the way he looks at the world. That's Frank McCourt.
Forgot about that one.
He said the divorce set it all off. You know where his wife is right now? You know his ex-wife? She's the current U.S. ambassador to France.
Of course she is.
Of course.
The former Mrs. Frank McCourt is the current ambassador to France, and the current ambassador to the U.K. is the owner of the New York Jets, who's coming home. Coming home to make sure that all the hair care products set for the man who will be receiving a beautiful porcelain gravy boat from the Rich Eisen Show.
Rich.
Let's all go in and go and get Trevor Lawrence and his future Mrs. whatever they need on their registry.
You're assuming he's going to keep the hair. You may want to trim it up
for
New York.
Oh, stop it.
Why?
What are you talking
ever
about?
Cut hair like Trevor
out of all
Lawrence's.
The nonsense that's come out of your pie hole on the Rich Eisen Show, I can't imagine.
If he cuts it and I'm right,
well,
you're
isn't
gonna
that a, I mean, obviously this is different, but is that still a Yankees thing where you have to be clean shaven and haircut?
That's a Yankee thing.
Yeah,
that's
just a Yankee thing.
I'm saying, do they still have that?
What the Yankees do?
Yeah,
I do believe so.
Yeah.
Should ask
the Jets would allow anything.
Garrett Cole had to get a haircut.
Yeah, they all do. Yeah, no facial hair either. Just like ESPN.
Oh, you couldn't rock it back then?
You could not. I don't know who does now. Charlie Steiner, I think, was
grandfathered in.
Maybe. But I think you could see him. He was clean faced too.
Neil Everett sometimes has a beard.
All I know is that the rule when I was on SportsCenter was they did not like facial hair. Mm-hmm. It was frowned upon.
Right.
So I've never seen somebody be able to grow a goatee overnight out of spite, quite like Keith Olbermann.
Spite goatee.
Is that what he did?
All of a sudden, you just walk in like, where'd that come from? Hello. You're doing the 11 tonight? Great. Hello. That's literally, I'm like, what the heck? Wow, overnight. That's impressive. Spike goatee. That would be a great fantasy team.
That's good.
And they just put Olbermann's goatee on one of the 11s.
Rich, let me ask you a question. When you guys were all back in those days, was there like a apartment complex or something where a lot of you tended to live, or were you all just all spread out doing your own
thing? I think some of the production staff did live in, you know, amongst themselves quite a bit, but all of us were spread out all over the place.
Okay.
The one I don't recall ever like running into anybody. I lived in Farmington. And there was like West Hartford, there was Avon, there were all these other hamlets around Bristol where we all lived, and West Hartford. And I never really ran into anybody that I worked with, but the one person I do recall walking down the street in West Hartford because he lived there, and he stood out. Manute Bol.
Oh, really?
Who was he playing for then?
I don't recall.
Wow.
Yeah, you could say, but he would stand
Manute
out.
Manute Bol would just be walking down the street in West Hartford. I saw him a lot.
And it's not like you can like confuse him with someone else either.
Correct.
No, it's definitely Manute Bol.
Definitely Manute
Bol. Yeah.
Stood out. I don't know. Don't ask me why he lived there or anything like that. But it's not like I was, you know, checking out of the grocery store and there's Bob Lee. Yeah. I hardly ever remember that. But I do remember, you know, going to get some lunch in West Hartford, which is right down Route 4 from where I lived. There'd be a Manute Bol just walking around.
That's amazing.
You know, with like a Starbucks coffee or whatever. Or just, hey, I'm Manute. Just 7'9", you know, just walking around. 844-204, that's a true story. We'll take your phone calls right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tommy Curran.
Tommy.
Hey. They're not going with Stidham. Tommy. Where's the other Tommy? Come on back, Tommy!
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. All right, Steelers and Bills. Can't wait for that one. How big is this one? I mean, the AFC East is truly up for grabs with the Dolphins playing that they're playing. And the Bills, if they beat the Steelers to give the Steelers a losing streak for the first time in 2020, it's possible the Bills could catch the Steelers or the Steelers win this one. And watch the Chiefs lose in Miami or the Chiefs lose in New Orleans next week. And Pittsburgh can start getting a little bit of space here for the top seed or keep pace with a rampaging Chiefs team. I mean, that's just for starters off the top of my head what's on the line on Sunday Night Football on NBC for Week 14 between the Bills and the Steelers. Mike Tirico will be on the call of that one with Chris Collinsworth in Western New York. As I spoke to Al yesterday to congratulate him on his fourth frick. So, I love that, man. What a pleasure to be able to talk to Bob and Al on the same day, you know?
Amazing.
Who gets to do that?
So lucky. I'm lucky, dude. I'm lucky. Talking to both of them also as my kids are going through tennis lessons. We're back on the Rich Eisen Show. And life is amazing. I'm very lucky. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. A lot of people are calling in saying that we missed up on our poll question. Which we'll ask to Tom Curran, too. This is going to be fun.
Frank McCourt.
NBC Sports Boston's Tom Curran here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Tom?
Tremendous. I am tremendous, Richard. How are you?
I am doing fine. Let's jump in with both feet here, Tom, because we have been, I mean, we spoke all throughout the spring and summer of what things are going to look like in New England, and you were saying it's Stidham's job. There is There is nobody else there. We got kind of, you know, caught off guard because it was Stidham's job all the way through to late June. And it's still not Stidham's job, even with Cam winning only six of the first 13, or the Patriots winning six of the first 13 with the season going the way that it is. Are you surprised by Belichick's response that it's still Cam's gig for the rest of the way now that team's 6-7?
I hate to seem a little contrarian, but no. Here's the reasons why I'm not surprised.
Go for it.
The Patriots made a commitment to Cam, and they've asked him to do an awful lot for $1 million. They brought him in at the end of June. He has been a franchise stabilizer. He's been a perfect bridge in terms of leadership from Tom Brady. Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels know the limitations of their offense and the quote-unquote weaponry around Cam. So they send him out there with less than around him. They put a lot on his plate. He didn't have an off season. He's got opt-outs on both sides of the ball that he's dealing with. And as a result, I think that Bill would perceive it as, look, if I put Stidham in, who really hasn't done a lot to impress us since Cam arrived, especially during training camp when there was for a few days a little bit of an open competition, that would seem as if I'm putting the blame for this on Cam, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to remain loyal to him because he's done everything we've asked of him, including a stretch after they started 2-5 where they played pretty good, and he played pretty good. So that's where I think it all stems from. That's the reluctance, Rich.
So what is the future of the quarterback position for New England then, Tom? What do you think?
I think it's ride or die with Cam until the team's eliminated, and then if Bill decides, and I could see him still being stubborn enough to not do it because the wolves in the media and the folks in the stands or in front of their televisions, not in the stands, are screaming for Jarrett Stidham, where he just says, nah, I'm going to do it my way. You just go with Cam. But I cannot imagine that Cam Newton would be any kind of a long-term answer next year, and I'd be stunned if he's back in a role, unless that's a, Cam, you want to come back, no one's giving you something, kind of signing that happens in June. As for Stidham, I would say he's probably going to be in the mix with whoever the team either drafts, trades for, or signs at the quarterback position. But you're going into a gunfight with a spoon with Cam Newton as a quarterback in 2020 when you get behind. He can do great things for your team relative to if you're ahead and the game is being played on your terms. But if those terms are not friendly to you, your hands are tied.
So let's get into a little bit of why, a great line, by the way, going into a gunfight with a spoon, why the Patriots are only armed with a spoon. I know you were somewhat vocal, because I follow you and follow your work, Tom Curran, from out here in Southern California, that when Bill Belichick said that there was a price to pay, essentially, for selling out over the last several years to win Super Bowls before Brady would eventually leave, and they thought he would probably still stay, that's part of the reason why there's a spoon on the field, or they're arming the Patriots with less than this year. Your thoughts on all of this?
You can't escape the draft. And that's where you're supposed to go shopping for your artillery. And if you're in the flatware aisle, Rich, and you're coming home with spoons, you're going to end up having a fight with spoons. And that's really what has happened, especially in the offensive side of the ball, since really about 2014. They just haven't done well in the draft. And you have to eventually pay the cost. And when the Patriots ignore the tight end position in the draft and don't acquire anyone through free agency, you're left with two rookies who are panic buys in the 2020 draft and can't practice with the team because of a pandemic, and neither of them is relevant. So you're basically taking the field without a tight end and asking a guy who you signed at the end of June to make do. I mean, the Patriots in 2017 traded Jimmy Garoppolo on Halloween. Since then, what did they do with the quarterback position? Well, they held the door open for Tom Brady and tapped their foot until he finally walked through it. And they signed or drafted Danny Etling and Jarrett Stidham. So what's on the field right now? And I know that Bill Belichick, who I've covered for his entire period of time in New England, is maybe not just the greatest coach of the Super Bowl era or in NFL history. He might be the greatest coach in American professional sports history. Be that as it may, they haven't stocked the team very well, and that's why they're running around with a spoon.
So what's the fix here? Because, I mean, you know, we should assume that, you know, hopefully, thank to the gods that this vaccine is going to do what we all hope, and it will go in as many arms as we all hope, and it will actually end this pandemic. And thus, 2021 will be as close to normal football season as we can remember, that some of the players that opted out will be in and won't have such diminishing returns after sitting out for a year. And then what? You got to find a new quarterback, and then what? Like, what's the fix here for New England as they move into 2021 and into the final several years of the brilliant coaching career of Bill Belichick? What do you think, Tom?
Glass half full. You have about $60 million worth of cap space available, which is third or fourth, depending upon who's doing the bookkeeping, highest in the NFL. We'll see what the cap ends up being. But the Patriots are well primed to do some good shopping if they can get the right guys, the right spots. Glass half empty, not only do you have to draft well and address a quarterback position when you might probably be around 15 or, you know, anywhere between 10 and 16 in the draft, you have to hit that spot. You also have guys like James White and Jason McCourty and Lawrence Guy and Adam Butler and David Andrews and Joe Tooney all coming up on contracts as well. So that $60 million that you're looking at is in your hot little hand ready to shop for free agents. There's some key players on this team who may not be back. Never mind Patrick Chung and Dante Hightower, who both took this year off because of COVID, and Marcus Cannon. They might just be getting warmed up. And what we've seen this year, you know this quote as well as anybody, was said about Don Shula or Bear Bryant, but it was said he can take his'n and beat your'n, and he can take your'n and beat his'n. And Bill Belichick can still do that. And he's done that this year. You know, if you look at last week against San Diego, 45-0, that's a pretty talented team that got absolutely de-pantsed because the Patriots on special teams, defense, and with a game plan they could execute on offense, killed them. But when you get in against a more talented team that's well coached and has a plan, like we saw last night, you're going to be in for it because the team is not that over-the-top talented.
Okay, so I guess as we begin to wrap this up, Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, I think this has a feel of a Week 14 postmortem on a Patriots season, which is very strange to me. I don't believe I've ever done this because the last time they had seven losses was the year before NFL Network began. I don't think I've ever done something like this, and it's weird. I'm not going to lie. It's just weird right now.
Yeah, it's new to me, too. I mean, I thought that they would go 8-8 and miss the playoffs, and that was after they acquired Cam. But it is weird because the tenor of Bill, I was just communicating with somebody on Twitter who DM'd me about it. I said, look, Bill is basically saying to fans, you don't like it, and media, tough crap. I gave you a lot of fun and enjoyment for the last 20 years. It's not that great right now, but I'm trying to fix it. You just shut up and wait for the entertainment. I'll provide it when I can. So sit there. Like, I mean, he said this morning, I'm not going to answer the question again about quarterback. He is taking on a role of, I don't have to answer to you people, which I get. I do. And do you get that? I mean, to a degree, the mindset, Rich, you know him pretty well.
No doubt. And I got to sit next to him for 2 days and hear the way that he thinks and all of that, you know. But I would never presume to ever think, that I know exactly what's in his mind. But I do know, you know, his level of pride. And I do know that he's been around the block and he could probably sit here and recall the time this happened in 1988 or, you know, what he read about in 1954 and how this worked here and that worked there, and I'll get it fixed in this way. But you're right. Like, at some point, though, it's got to be DK Metcalf and not N'Keal Harry. It's got to be Nick Chubb and not Sony Michel, although that might not be very fair because Sony Michel in the Super Bowl year was dynamite in that postseason. I mean, he was a difference maker in many different ways when points were coming
difficult. I mean, there's
so much
gray area, and he'd acknowledge that, and that's what he would present you with. Okay, so, you know, we threw a screen to Damian Harris, and Aaron Donald grabbed him, and it's an anticipatory screen that got returned for a pick six, and that made it 17-0. And then after that, they only scored 7 points. What do you want from us? We looked bad. We didn't do well. Okay, what else? But, I mean, it's he is not, as he has said a couple of times this year, in the business of defending himself, which is fine. He's not in the business of apologizing, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I think even an open give and take on where the team is, why it's here, and where it's headed, he will not countenance, Richard.
Before I let you go, Tom Curran, you've been covering Bill Belichick every single day since he's arrived in New England. You've seen him. You've been around the block with him. So what do you think? That we know that he doesn't think that Cam deserves to be in there, and we know he probably has evaluated Stidham enough that we can understand and for real know that he's not evaluating Stidham in Week 17 when he starts them against the winless Jets. He's doing that specifically along with all the other guys that he'll throw out there from the practice squad. Make sure that the Jets don't get Trevor Lawrence. Your thoughts, Tom Curran, when it's all said and done, Week 17. How does that happen? The Jets are one loss away from clinching Trevor Lawrence and the man standing in their way, or maybe being able to step out of the way. What do you think he does with that four-dimensional chessboard, Tom? What do you think?
That's a great Sophie's choice, isn't it? Because you can either go with, I really want to see this franchise go down with the ignominious fact that they have an 0-16 around their neck.
That's
forever.
So
that argues to hit the tape all the way through. Boy, that's a great question, because I know he likes Gase, too. Does he want to saddle Gase with that? But he's never like, look, I don't want to finish 7-9 either.
That's true.
So,
that's
holy crap.
But you stick
up after Christmas.
You kind of pull the foot off the gas pedal, which goes against every fiber of his being. But if you do you put the Jets at 1-15, and just maybe you don't see Trevor Lawrence twice a year, and the Jets don't get the best, most talented player potentially in the draft in the last some odd years. That's coming down the pike, Thomas.
Okay, I'm putting that onto a quick document, Word, so I can have that for a story to write later. Because I think
that's a good
talker right there.
That's a good talker.
Hey, you're welcome. I try to make my guests better from when I said hello. That's what I'm trying to do here.
Thank you, my friend.
You take care of yourself, Tom. Thanks for the call.
All right, buddy. Take care.
I think you got it. It's Tom Curran. That's a good talker. That's what he just said.
Good talker right there, Rich Eisen.
Susie hates it when I try the Boston accent.
You leave things better than when you found them, Rich.
I try to.
Man.
Well, we've kicked the tires on that already.
Well, yeah, for sure.
That's coming down to Week 17 pike. After the Jets get destroyed by Seattle and Los Angeles, and they come back from their West Coast walkabout at 0-14, and then finish up against Cleveland, which should dismantle them, and then they're 0-15, and who's standing there across the field in Foxborough as the gatekeeper?
Brian Hoyer.
All of a sudden, let's take a look at Stid. Let's take a look at these practice squad players. We need to evaluate. It goes against every fiber of his being.
Do they have the losing tiebreaker?
I don't even know. I don't even know. I'm just going one at a time. The easiest thing to do, just keep losing.
Yeah. one game at a time.
That's the easiest thing to do. Although toughest to live through, I'm sure, for them.
For sure.
When we come back, I want to empty some phone banks. I do want to get to my son's fantasy basketball team because he's really keen to know what you guys think. And I'm proud of his drafting acumen, I'll be very honest with you.
Looking forward to it.
I did help him on a couple, but not all of them. And it is the second night of Hanukkah. I would like to light tonight's candle, fully knowing that the Judah Maccabee of fantasy football, Mike Davis, still has burning bright his fantasy value. That's coming up next.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Hey everybody, the Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to richeisenstore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and of course short sleeve in white or heather gray. We've got hats, hats people. And of course, start your day with a cup of joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to richeisenstore.com and shop your head off right now.
All right, it looks like that satellite went up. Looks like our friends at SiriusXM, Channel 211, NBC Sports Audio. I have no idea if this SpaceX launch actually had anything to do with it, but we say hello to our SiriusXM listeners. That now I think with the NBC Sports Audio, they're running something other than what we used to run in our commercial breaks there. Great friend of mine, Doug Robinson. Listens to this show on SiriusXM every day. He couldn't be a better friend. Told me straight to my face, couldn't hear those commercials anymore. I appreciate that. Got to have that candor from friends. You know what I mean?
Honesty is the best policy.
I know, but not when they felt you in poker, as I got last night.
Ouch.
Very difficult to handle. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Great chats with Bomani Jones and Tom Curran. That's a talk. What do you call it? A talka?
A talka.
You put that in his notes. It's coming to an NBC boss.
Yeah, that'll be a column soon.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who's been waiting the longest? Manny in El Paso, good friend of the program. Let's get to Manny. How are you, Manny?
How are we doing, gentlemen? Happy Hanukkah, Mr. Eisen.
Same to you.
Hello to everyone else.
Thank you, sir.
I could shake all your hands,
right,
but we can't, so a long-distance bro hug it is. But seriously, right. Like I was telling Adam, I'm glad you guys are all safe and healthy. I know California is getting hit hard with this damn virus.
Yeah,
I had a bout with it myself, but I'm good. I'm here on the best sports show with the best dad ever and his buddies. Let's talk sports.
Let's go, Manny.
Let's do it, Manny.
With all due respect to my fellow head guy, Mr. DeTufo, I just can't stand the Rams this year. I can't stand them.
Why?
I don't know if it's those ugly white uniforms that look like wax paper with blue duct tape.
I have to tell you, I don't know if it's
their fancy new stadium that looks like a giant comma.
Manny, I've got to stop you right there because I want to make sure you're accurate before you continue on. They're not white uniforms. They're bone uniforms. That's what they're calling it. It's called bone color uniforms. It's bone color. Okay?
Well, regardless, it looks like you could see through them, so you can see their bones. But
there you go. Wow, look at Manny.
Call them what you will. They're ugly.
Okay.
Anyways, I found myself rooting for the Patriots yesterday for two reasons. One, because both the Patriots and Cam Newton have been humbled. And two, I just like seeing Chris Brockman smile and dressing up like Cam.
There you go.
Thank you, Manny.
There you go, Chris. I'm always busting your chops, but I was rooting for the Patriots and for you yesterday, man.
Thanks for the call,
thanks,
Manny.
Bud.
You take care of yourself.
Be
that's
well,
Manny in El Paso, everybody. Wow, the Patriots are a sympathetic figure to somebody sitting in El Paso who loves the Dallas Cowboys, right? I mean,
they had half of a bad year. What are we talking about here?
There's no sympathy there.
It's all downhill.
Feeling
from
bad
here.
For the Patriots.
They haven't gone through a full season, Rich.
That heel turn coming. Didn't see that one.
Rebuilding,
Feel bad for us, guys.
And rooting against the Rams.
Look, it's been 2 years since we won a Super Bowl.
I feel bad about the Rams.
Rebuilding.
I mean, the Rams are.
What are you
for? Who's the dislike on the Rams? Like, literally, who's
can't.
The dislike on the Rams? I guess if you don't like Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey, maybe? I don't know.
Hey, by the way, Jalen just liked an Instagram post that we did.
Of
so
course,
we love Jalen here.
Jalen Ramsey, when he was balling out with the Jaguars, right? One of his first years, he could have been a rookie, right? He could have been up for Defensive Rookie of the Year or something. Chris, you remember you were my plus one that night at the NFL honors.
Yeah, we had better seats than him.
And what did I tell him that night? Get used to it. No matter how much you're balling out, Jalen. You know, say hello to the back of my head at NFL honors.
Yeah, because Jerry Jones was right in front of us.
Whitten.
And then it was us. And then
Jalen Ramsey
was behind
like,
us.
Hey, Jalen. I know you're balling out and all, and you're, you know, you got a big, bright future ahead of you. But guess what? It's the way I roll at NFL honors. Better seat.
Better recognize.
He found it funny. Jalen and I, we go way back. So he should like our Instagram post.
Jalen Ramsey's watch that night.
I remember that.
Oh my god.
Uh-huh. That's a rookie contract, all in one wrist. Let's go to Patrick in Baltimore. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Thank you.
I'm calling about the poll question today.
Okay. Love it.
If you are keeping it to just players.
Yes, we are.
The answer is Chris Davis, and for three reasons.
Okay.
One, more total money on the contract, $160 million.
Unbelievable.
Two, look up Chris Davis's contract on SpoTrack. The last year of the deal is 2022.
It's coming up.
From 2023 to 2037, he's going to receive $42 million in deferred money.
So
he's going to get the Bobby Bonilla deal after the Orioles already gave him $120 million. And the third reason.
Yeah, by the way, there's a third reason?
That's true. That's true.
There's a third reason?
We forgot.
What? Okay.
Yeah. The third reason?
Yeah.
Not only has he not hit above the Mendoza line since 2017, in 2018, he set the record for lowest batting average ever, eclipsing a record that was set in the 1880s. So you go down the rest of your list. They all played poorly after signing that deal, but none of them were 140 years bad. They can argue all they want about the $20 million in Latanza inflated money. Chris Davis already made out with all the money from Terry Benedict's vault.
Rock him.
That's a great phone call. What a phone call. I've never been more thrilled and delighted to have been proven that we forgot somebody on our poll question.
All right, here's the details of the deferred contract here. So Patrick was right, $42 million in deferred money from 2023 to 2037. So from 2023 to 2032, $3.5 million per year for Chris Davis. 2033 to 2037, the last 5 years, $1.4 million.
So
he'll be
So the two baseball players we chose was Mike Hampton.
Yeah, which was really bad.
Which was terrible.
Really bad.
And Bobby Bonilla, because of his deferred payment, what a Lufthansa heist that is.
Right. 25 years of deferred payments, Bob.
This guy's contract surpasses that in terms of total value of Mike Hampton.
I think inflation.
And has his own deferred payment.
For 15
Angelo's
years.
Dollars, yeah. He went Terry Benedict, which is a great Ocean's reference. Angelo's dollars forever.
I think with inflation, Mike Hampton and Chris Hampton probably about the same in terms of total dollars. But, yeah, this 15-year deferred on Chris Davis, wow.
And that's how Dan Duquette wound up looking like Carbone in the back of the ice truck. Right? Speaking of which, do you see who the Phillies hired to run their baseball operations?
I mean, good luck.
The man who gave Evaldi all those millions.
Yeah. Dave Dombrowski.
Dave Dombrowski winds up in Philly.
Good luck, Philly.
Look at that. Welcome to Philadelphia. So do you think Nate Evaldi wants to go pitch for the Phillies?
Might as well. I can get $70 million that could have went to Mookie Betts.
I bet you he wanted to give Mookie more money. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. What do you think he would? I don't know. They just did. He had run his course in Boston. That's for sure.
He said he wanted to stay. He said he thought he was going to be there for life.
I don't think so. I think he ran his course.
Hey, Alex Cora's back. I'm happy.
Hey, you wanted that. That's a big wet kiss to Boston Red Sox fandom. They know they're talking your language.
Yeah, yeah. Now let's win some games.
Let's win some games. All right. Let's cleanse the palate a little bit here. The delight of watching 12-year-olds and 11-year-olds draft NBA players in fantasy. I sat next to Xander as he was doing his Zoom and his NBA fantasy draft. Just hearing that of the mouths of babes, their opinions of NBA players and who stinks, who doesn't stink, and who was a good player and who wasn't. It was just delightful. You know, it was just great to hear. Xan, would you like to see his team?
Yeah, I'm dying.
First of all, the team
this.
Name that Xander Eisen has chosen, Mr. Jalapeno Poppers.
Okay.
Don't know.
They're actually really good.
I know, but I don't remember the last time he has
had ever one. Had
I don't
one?
Know. Again, I'm I don't recall.
Mysterious trip to TGI Fridays that you don't know about?
Mr. Jalapeno Poppers.
A little excursion to Applebee's with mom.
I got plenty of names that I could have given him.
But I don't, dude.
Just from this week, Del Tufo's boxing boondoggle.
No, I know, but again, this is a 12-year-old. Let the 12-year-old imagination run wild.
Yeah, let's not handcuff him.
So Dark abyss of anxiety.
I didn't ask him. I mean, his fantasy football team name was the Joey Special because he was binging Friends quite a bit when we were drafting back in August.
Uh-huh.
So his avatar is Matt LeBlanc.
How you doing?
For his football team. This one, he doesn't have one yet, but the Rich Eisen Show staff, Mike Hoskins, I think, came up with him. Put it up, Don. Look at that top left. That should be a nice avatar, right? Yeah. Look, those are jalapeno poppers.
Jalapeno
right there.
Poppers.
There you go.
Look at that squad.
Here we go.
Look at this team.
I told my son, it's a 10-team league.
Mm-hmm.
He's stacked. Steph Curry and Jason Tatum. Tatum was one, Curry was two.
Oh, baby.
And then I pushed him in the direction of Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan, yeah.
But when he saw Zion available for his fourth pick, all over that. Miles one kid Turner. Even said, Zion stinks. I'm like, what? But I'm a...
Get out of here, kid.
Yeah.
Let them do their thing.
Let them do their thing.
CJ McCollum. Look at your bench, though. McCollum, Kyle Lowry.
Zan wanted Lowry in the worst way.
LaMelo.
He chose LaMelo Ball. And I said, he was looking at LaMelo Ball. And I'm like, because it was the second to last pick. Why not?
You don't know.
Now, I will
Major
admit,
upside.
Devontae Graham was selected because I was telling him to draft LeVert, Caris LeVert.
Mm-hmm.
And he accidentally hit Graham's name by accident.
Yeah, that's all right.
But LaMelo, I'm like, Zan, go ahead, take the flyer.
Yeah, big upside.
Could you imagine? He's like rookie of the year or something, and he gets him second to last? What do you think of the centers? I honestly couldn't. Gobert, I was able to tell him, you're going to get some blocks. You'll get some
blocks,
rebounds. But what about Bryant and Turner? What can you tell me about these guys?
You, Thomas Bryant, man, I think he had some really good games against the Clips last year and the Sixers. I just happened to watch them play them twice. Big body. It's going to be interesting to see how he works with Russ, but
right.
He's going to rebound. He's going to play defense. I'm not sure how if he's going to block many shots, but, you know.
Zan wanted Damian Lillard. That was his initial reaction instead of Steph because he was worried about Steph's injury from last year.
Yeah, that's
understandable.
Totally fair.
I told him.
You should have let him take Dame on that one, Rich.
You know, it's not that I didn't let him do anything.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
I think Suze came in over the top and she's like, how do you not want Steph Curry? Because the whole. Say that you want to go with people that you enjoy.
Yeah, you enjoy watching.
But Damian Lillard is beyond enjoyable.
Yeah.
But those were the questions. So what do you think?
Well, I'm trying to find some projections.
Big ball
guys.
Of brand we here to
Devontae Graham scored 18 a game last year, so that's a pretty nice pickup. For
that was last second.
That was a great pickup for his last play.
Okay, good.
Big ball of brand went up 12%.
So that's LeVar Ball chiming in on Mr. Jalapeno Poppers.
He's happy to be out there.
You got big time superstars, so you're going to fill it up with points and 3-pointers.
Good. Even when you lose, I win.
Exactly. And you got a lot of upside players, which is huge.
Okay.
Great team. Great job, Zan.
All right.
Great job, X-Man.
Great team.
Great job.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Very good.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see.
This is my
first.
I've never followed a fantasy basketball.
Oh,
now Coop's coming up next week, so
it's a lot of work. We're thinking about doing a show one. Do you want to join ours?
I've already going to have two in my own household.
All right, we're just thinking about it.
It's a lot of work.
You do it. I'll pay attention to it. And it's again, you set your lineup for the week, or you get a week, and then you can reconfigure your lineup. Right? It's head to head. That's the way it works.
Yeah, you can just set it on Monday as long as no one gets hurt. You don't not like baseball where you really got to be in there every day. That's too much.
Okay.
Too much fantasy hoops.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Here we go, Mr. Jalapeno Poppers.
Let's go.
Never thought I'd say those words. Hour number two in the books. Kevin Bacon joining us in hour number three. Chris Brockman's news update. Higher register. Sneaky good games. Three games under the radar. Our usual Friday fun coming up.
Big baller brand, we here to stay.
Thank you, sir.
Man, a day late, but Dabo Swinney is trending for something he said yesterday on the show.
No.
Oh, yeah?
No, he didn't. You sure he didn't say something today? What did he say yesterday?
No, this is from yesterday when he said that he doesn't think Ohio State essentially should be in the playoff. because they didn't play enough games.
Oh.
It's making the rounds today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Spell the name right. R-I-C-H.
They did. Bleacher Report hit it. Got the tag in there.
Two
so
eyes.
That's all good.
There we go. Look at us this week. That Costa saying that he would consider doing a prequel to basketball. You got him. You got that one out of him.
I got him.
Okay.
And Pootie Tang.
Wadate.
Sadate.
Hey, just a little thing. When Trey Wingo, you guys were talking about Matt Willig.
Yes.
Do you know Matt Willig is in the new life story about The Rock?
Oh.
And he is playing Andre the Giant.
No way.
Really?
Yes.
Hey.
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
We got to get him back.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Talking about cell phones.
No, we don't.
Willig! That's what Mooch said.
Willig!
Willig, get in here, Willig! Just hearing Mooch tell that story.
Willig!
Looking at Barlow saying, what? Willig, get in here, Willig! You put your phone up! You put Barlow's phone up here!
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah!
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.